Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Cafe Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to bring you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm apparently not as chipper as you.
I'm chipper, yeah. I just got the final guest list for our Thanksgiving feast coming up, and I cook dinner on Thanksgiving.
Kind of.
You weren't going to let me get away with that.
Kind of.
Number one tip for y'all out there to make your Thanksgiving preparations easier, buy a restaurant and employ a chef.
Hire a chef. There you go. What could be easier than that?
Now, the chef doesn't make my Thanksgiving dinner. He assigns the sous chef to do it. what we do with our Thanksgiving dinner is the restaurant basically takes the bird, cleans the bird, dresses the bird, puts everything, you know, mashes the potatoes, cuts the vegetables, and puts everything in containers, sends it up to my sister's house the night before, we refrigerate it, and then I cook Thanksgiving dinner.
Actually, I've begged many, many times, I eat at my mother-in-law's house on Thanksgiving.
Oh, you poor man.
And she won't let me bring anything.
She's a very nice lady.
Very nice lady, but she won't let me bring any. I mean, literally, she's like, no, I don't want you to bring anything. And I beg and I plead and I, just
she's
the one
from,
thing that I want her
Midwest,
to let
isn't she?
The one thing that I want her to let me do, besides take the turkey out of the oven about an hour before she does, the one thing that I want her to let me do is to bring some pan drippings and make a gravy out of it.
Oh, how does she make gravy?
She opens a can of Heinz.
No,
absolutely. Yeah, Heinz.
Why would
gravy.
You do that? It's so easy to make a pan gravy.
That's their tradition. They open a can of gravy and the brown gravy and off they go.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I hate it.
No.
And, you know.
So you've got this dry turkey, and then you can't put
thank goodness she doesn't listen to the show, because I hate it.
Oh.
It's just.
Why would you do that? Okay. No, we don't. We're going to have Sam Gugino on the show a little bit later on. His newsletter and website is samcooks.com. Sam's a really interesting guy. He was a food critic before. He's a great freelance writer. I like his writing a lot.
Writes for the Wine Spectator, a lot of great
he
food
writes about
articles
food
for the
Wine Spectator, and he's got a great palate as far as wine's concerned. He's a really good, down-earth, cool guy. He actually wrote for the Star-Ledger here in New Jersey years ago. That's where we first met him.
You never read one of Sam's articles unless you have 25 or 30 minutes.
Yeah, he goes into it, man.
Because there's no such thing as a two-page Sam Gugino article.
But, boy, you come out smarter.
Yes, you do.
One of the news shows has a commercial on another radio station where they say, listen to blank news. The way they present the news, it's so simple, you can understand it. It makes you seem smarter. And I'm thinking, you're dumber. You know?
If you need simpler news, you're dumber.
Well, when you read Sam Gugino's articles on food and wine,
you're actually smarter.
You actually know a lot more
you
stuff.
You know more stuff.
But we're going to be talking with him about your Thanksgiving, how to handle your Thanksgiving dinner. I want to tell you about my view on birds, okay, and turkey in particular. Turkey is really great. We destroy turkey. We're going to talk with Sam about how to make good turkey. But turkey is the overcooked, dried out turkey really should be relegated to once a year because, except for tradition, why would you eat it? But when you cook a turkey well, especially heritage breeds of turkey, it can be very good. And there are different parts to the turkey. It's a very large bird. And what people often don't understand is the dark meat.
Mm-hmm.
And
turkey doesn't have to be bland and flavorless and just a medium for all those other side dishes that you have on Thanksgiving.
And one of the things that you can do with your turkey, we recommend when you're cooking a turkey for Thanksgiving, is that you pull it out when the breast meat is done. Very often that means that the drumsticks and the thighs aren't quite done yet because they take longer to cook and they're dark meat. But why not take the turkey out of the oven, cut those things off, and throw them back in?
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do, basically, if you want to do things a little bit differently, is you can take turkey thighs and drumsticks and basically make them in the same way. You can cut them off in the beginning before you cook, and you can make them basically like you make an osso buco.
Mm-hmm.
They cook very much the same.
Yeah, that was actually one of the things in Sam's article.
As an osso buco, it's true.
It was great, great in a way of preparing this. One of the things that happens with especially with the drumsticks, the thigh of turkey I find to be very, very enjoyable. But with drumsticks, it's got all those tendons in there. It's very difficult
so
to
you need to cook
to
it long and
navigate
slow.
Sometimes.
So it's long and slow like an osso buco. Next topic that we're not going to talk about with Sam for this time of year, we're just going to be talking about the turkey. One of my favorite things is a goose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just because I like to read A Christmas Carol, but at Christmas time I like to have a goose. If you want a goose at Christmas time, you better start calling around now.
Mm-hmm.
Because frozen geese, they just don't cut it. Geese are very difficult to cook because they render a tremendous amount of
tons
fat.
Tons of fat on a goose.
But hold on a second.
Goose lives on a lake in the wintertime, remember
yeah.
that.
You know.
Okay, when you're like in your biggest parka and your hat's on, he's, you know,
he's lounging
goose,
about
he's
the lake.
Goose naked on the lake,
he's
okay?
So, but one of the things about when you cook a goose, you have to cook a goose in a pan, but it's got to be on a rack because you've got to have it above the fat.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be pulling the fat with it with one of the – you have to have a syringe because you've got to get the fat out of the pan. But what you have when you're done cooking a goose, if you've done it well, is not only a great goose, you've got goose fat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw away that goose
which
fat.
Which can be used for everything.
Try.
I was going to say anything, but I'm going to say for everything.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you can use it to bake a pie. You can use it for literally everything. You can use it to make French fries in. You can use it to make hash browns in
French
the morning.
French fries in goose fat are incredible.
You can fry your eggs in it when you cook in the morning.
Check this out.
Everything.
Savory French toast in goose fat.
Oh,
this
yeah.
I have done. Absolutely amazing. You can cook up a chicken breast in it, and it keeps for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So geese are and a goose meat is it's a different texture of meat. It's a very different flavor of meat.
Think of it as a little tougher than duck, for instance, but a lot of that kind of dark, rich flavor that you get from duck.
And I really enjoy it. So you can stuff this bird, and you can cook one for Christmas, but the key is with a goose, if you want a goose that's not like gray and mealy, it has to be never frozen,
mm-hmm.
fresh and never frozen, because when you buy them at if you call somebody up and say, I want a fresh goose, they have to get it in special for you, because sometimes what they'll do is they'll just thaw out the frozen goose, and that's what you get. So that's something that I would look for.
And remember that an 8 or 10 pound goose has a lot less meat on it because of all that fat that's covering the meat than, let's say, a turkey. And even less than a duck, which a duck has a fair amount of fat as well. But the same size duck and goose, a goose is going to have more fat.
And the other thing that I want to talk about with Thanksgiving coming up is there are many things that you can buy that I think are acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Sam Kuhner talked about, you know, if you want to buy peeled chestnuts, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. In his article, yeah.
You don't want to get buried in side dishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there are side dishes. You need to make your own stuffing. Stovetop is not acceptable.
Stovetop is not acceptable. But stuffing is not that hard to make. But roasting chestnuts, peeling them, dicing them, is a little bit of a pain in the neck.
Although
fresh roasted chestnuts right on the table just like that.
We actually roasted chestnuts one year in the open fire in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Pretty rocking.
Yeah, and the house smells great
yeah.
when you roast chestnuts. But even that's something you can put in the oven right after you serve the turkey. Pop the chestnuts in the oven. And you'll forget about them because we all forget about them. But the cool thing about roasting chestnuts in the oven that you've forgotten about, what will remind you is the sweet smell of roasting chestnuts
in the
oven.
And when they pop.
Yeah,
the sound of chestnuts roasting on an open fire. The one thing I do have to say that's interesting is we talk about how we want great food, but there's also food as tradition. You know, people eat a dry turkey just because they want to have turkey, but you don't have to have a dry turkey, and you can find out why in the next segment. But you know what the kids in my family want?
What?
We make this great cranberry sauce from cranberries. The chef sweats it down, and the beautiful homemade cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
Got to have the cranberry sauce. The kids will not. If there's not canned, and they want to.
If there aren't ridges on the.
Exactly. They don't trust me anymore. They think I'm sneaking in my natural food again. And so I have to cut it so the ridges are still visible so they don't think I snuck in some real food on them. I have to have it. Anyway.
So you didn't just put a bunch of gelatin in the
Thanksgiving.
In the cranberry sauce.
Thanksgiving's all about tradition. Sam Gugino coming up next. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. Our guests today, returning and joining us again, is Sam Gugino. Sam writes, one of our favorite newsletters online. His website is samcooks.com. He's written many things over the years. He's a contributing editor to Wine Spectator magazine, and we're here to talk some turkey with Sam Gugino.
Sam Gugino, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, guys.
So let's talk turkey.
Okay.
I want to start off by talking, by getting Mark in trouble by talking about his mother-in-law's turkey. you know how those turkeys have the little poppers in it that are supposed to pop up when they're done?
Uh-huh.
That's not good enough for her.
It's got to go beyond that. Huh?
Beyond popping. Yes,
beyond popping.
Correct.
Is this a good idea?
We call it BP.
Is this a good idea or a bad idea with regard to turkey?
Well, it's frankly, it's a bad idea to buy turkeys that have poppers because usually that means a frozen bird.
Yeah, but you get it for free if you buy enough stuff.
Well, that's why you get it for free. one of the things I recommend is to buy a fresh turkey. That's first and foremost. And then if you can buy a locally raised, organic, and or free-range turkey, all the better. But, you know, some of the best turkey I've had has been local turkey that didn't have any of those fancy labels like organic and free-range. But it's got to be fresh.
Can we talk about what each of those terms mean and how?
Sure.
Before we go into each of those terms, I just want to talk about fresh. Listen, I'm not saying that this ever happens, but I used to work in a supermarket and see that we would sell as fresh birds, birds that weren't frozen. But they weren't necessarily birds that had never been frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you need to be very careful of out there is people selling, you know, birds that aren't frozen that were once frozen. A fresh bird means it was never frozen. And what Sam recommends is buying locally so you know where it comes from. And you know that nowhere along the chain has it ever been frozen.
That's very important. It actually happens a lot in restaurants with ducks. Restaurants that sell ducks supermarkets that sell ducks frequently, it seems like it's a fresh duck, but it's a duck that's been frozen.
It also happens a lot with seafood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we're on the turkey side of things.
Okay.
So let's talk about the words we see on turkey labels. We see natural, we see organic, we see free range. Talk to us about those things.
Well, natural I don't think has any official designation, but organic means that it has not been fed any grain that has been raised with pesticides or any chemicals of any type. Free range means that it has had a chance to roam around, but there is quite a wide range of how much they can roam around.
Of exactly how free they are.
Yeah. I mean, for example, they have to be out a certain amount of time in the outside, but they don't have to be outside all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, a lot of these birds are just wandering around these big, large coops. So they're sort of free range, but they're not entirely.
But they're walking around on concrete.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Well, I'll tell you though, you go to like Greektown Quail Farm here in Jersey.
Yeah.
You know the birds are free range
because there they are.
Because when you pull up to the,
because they're pecking at your feet.
You're like, hey,
get out of my car. I gotta share with you. You know, when you said that natural has no significant meaning. I think that very often corporate agribusiness tries to hop on the organic bandwagon. In some ways, they do that in very insidious ways where they try and change the legal meaning of terms. But I saw one that struck me as the same as, like, natural on a turkey. It sounds good, but if you think about it for 1 second, you know it doesn't mean anything. There is a brand of milk available in Jersey at my local bodega in on downtown Jersey City. And it actually says on the carton, from real cows. which I guess you get a point for that. It's like spelling your name right. I don't know.
Well, Lewis Black, the comedian, has a great routine about milk. It's pretty profane, but it's very funny.
Well, we can't do that. It's a family radio show. But let me ask you about the definition of one other thing. We're serving in our restaurants on Thanksgiving heritage breeds of turkey.
Yes.
Well, talk to us about heritage breeds of turkey. How are they different, and are they any better? Because they're much more expensive.
Well, they are much more expensive, and they are breeds that have sort of gone out of fashion since World War II or maybe even a bit earlier. The poultry industry has developed birds that have had bigger and bigger breasts and that they could pump out more in a factory farming setting, which has left all of these old birds that our grandmothers remember by the wayside. So more and more, these birds are coming into play and making a resurgence, like the American
American bronze.
The bourbon. Mm-hmm. And
bourbon red, Jersey buff.
Narragansett.
And Narragansett.
A bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have a much more pronounced flavor. They don't have that kind of flaccid turkey flavor that much of the supermarket turkey has.
Bland.
Bland. I think more than the flavor is the texture.
Mm-hmm.
The texture is a meatier texture. It doesn't have that kind of fall-apart kind of texture that supermarket turkeys have. Now, as to whether or not it's worth the price, well, you've got to figure that out for yourself because they are indeed expensive.
When people ask me about heritage bird, it is the first thing that I talk about is the texture of the bird as opposed to the flavor of the bird. Where you first notice it the most is in the texture.
But we're going to be talking more with Sanguigino in just a minute because there are lots of sort of cheesy ways that people have come up with to make an otherwise bland and overcooked bird taste like it's something you want to eat. Sam has some ways to really cook this bird to make yourself a tasty treat that may be a little bit counterintuitive, and we're going to learn more about those in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125.
Today we are proud to present Jackie Naylor.
Once upon a time, New Year's Eve was a night for swank jazz, champagne, and caviar. Ring in 2007 at just such a gathering with us. The Restaurant Guys present a New Year's Eve jazz concert at the Crossroads Theater starring Ms. Jackie Naylor. Jackie's been called the new voice of jazz by Vogue magazine. Jazz Times says, in the never-ending Next Big Thing sweepstakes, bet on Jackie Naylor. She's headlined internationally. She's played with Michael McDonald and David Sanborn. And on New Year's Eve, she'll play to a sold-out crowd at the Crossroads Theater right next to our restaurants. Dine before or after the show at either one of our acclaimed restaurants. There are hotel accommodations within walking distance, one of the best jazz singers in the country, two of the best restaurants in the state, an evening not to be forgotten. Go to stageleft.com or KatherineLombardi.com for details, reservations, and menus, or call 732-828-4444. Put the swank back in New Year's Eve. Spend it with the Restaurant Guys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, our guest today, Sanguigino. SamCooks.com is his website. You can find him there or link to him through our website, RestaurantGuysRadio.com. And today we're talking turkey.
So, Sam, in our last segment, you were talking about bigger and bigger breasts. You were talking about leaving old birds by the side of the road. You were not talking about L.A., though. You were talking about the state of turkeys in our country.
Oh, Lord.
And we were just talking a little bit about the difference of a heritage turkey, and we left it off speaking about the texture of the heritage bird, but there is some difference in the flavor and the composition of the bird, how it's made up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, they are raised like turkeys used to be. They're more free range. They roam around more, and as a result, they don't get pumped up. You'll notice that the heritage birds don't have as large a breast as the supermarket turkeys. It's not quite as small as a wild turkey, which is another category we haven't talked about, which is even has a firmer texture and a more gamey flavor, but I think that's going to be tough literally and figuratively for a lot of people.
Yeah, I, my dad and I used to go hunting wild turkeys when I was a kid, and they're not very good.
I haven't enjoyed wild turkeys as much as I have the heritage.
They're very smart, though. So unless you're going to go out and shoot one yourself, that's kind of what we're talking about. Well, what are you cooking for Thanksgiving, Sam? What kind of bird have you chosen?
I'm actually cooking at Lancaster County, which is where a lot of chicken and turkey comes from.
That's Pennsylvania, because you're in Philadelphia.
I live in Philadelphia, and it's an organic, free-range Lancaster County turkey that I get from my local poultry purveyor.
All right, well, we're going to go to the news in about a minute, but why don't we give a little preview of how are you going to be cooking your turkey? Are you going to be frying it? Are you going to be injecting it with stuff? Are you going to cook it upside down? What crazy trick are you using on your turkey?
Just a beer can inside it?
Yeah.
I'm going to brine it and roast it.
Uh-huh. Talk to us about brining. Should we brine all turkeys, which is to stick it in salt water for a while?
Well, all brining will help turkeys. I think turkeys with the least amount of flavor that the turkey has, the more it needs brining.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does it give the turkey more flavor, but it also keeps it moist.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about four or five different ways that you can cook turkeys that may reduce the time that you spend cooking your turkey and will keep you from overcooking your turkey, which is the number one sin that everybody does on Thanksgiving. It's not going to kill you. You don't have to cook it to 180 degrees. And we'll be back talking about how exactly to get a tasty turkey on Thanksgiving with Sam Gugino. If you're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal. I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Cafe Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Here to bring you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Today our guest is Sam Gugino. He is author and owner of samcooks.com. He's a regular contributing editor to the Wine Spectator magazine. But samcooks.com is all about turkey this week, as you might expect, and we're talking with Sam about how to cook a turkey. Now, Sam, once we've selected our turkey, the different ways you talk about dealing with turkeys are we talk about frying them.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about butterflying them, which is taking the bone out, which really mm-hmm. heats up the cooking process. One of the things that you said about frying them deep frying them, yeah. One of the things that's very messy. It's actually very difficult, and you can't make gravy from the drippings.
Right. It has its appeal in the sense that it goes very quickly, and it gives you a little different texture that you very crisp, obviously. So it has its own positives, but it has two negatives. One is that it's messy, and the other is that you can't make gravy, or you can't put stuffing, obviously, in.
I've also read a statistic on this a few years back about the turkey fryers mm-hmm. are one of the highest rates of holiday time fires
yeah.
in people's homes because it's cold out, so people don't want to do this outside, and really those things ideally should be done outside.
Right.
And, you know, so.
Or at the very least in a garage with the door open.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a garage, detached from your house.
Right.
But what happens is people are burning their houses down,
yeah.
deep frying these turkeys. You gotta be really careful with this.
That's a big check in the negative column. The house burning down? Not really. And then you yourself can be on that Christmas needy list for the starter.
Merry Christmas.
Help this family.
Hi. Fried a turkey.
Yeah, and I have to say, I've seen people do this, and, you know, Mark and I are very, you know, you work in a kitchen long enough, you're very safety conscious, and
right.
you're very, like, you know, you worry about knives and fire. Those are the two things you worry about. And I'm watching these people, like, wrestle with huge vats of 375-degree oil, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, someone's going to get hurt. So
that's right, and they're probably wearing sandals while
oh, yeah,
they're doing
exactly. A vat that large of hot oil, very dangerous. It scares the tar out of me every time I see somebody who's not like a kitchen professional do it. And it's not just that your skill, it's that, you know, when we fry things in a fryer, it's stationary, it's got four legs, it's not going to tip over, it's hooked mm-hmm. up to the wall, there's an Ansel system over it to, you know, rain down fire suppressant chemicals if it comes down. You're in the garage, it's like up on a brick.
Right. And, if there's water on your turkey, as soon as you put that turkey into the fryer, it's going to start bubbling over. I mean, there are so many nightmare stories.
All right, so what's a safer way to make a turkey, Sam?
Well, a safer and a faster way is to butterfly.
One thing I do have to say, fried turkey's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
So
you should do it once in your life.
Yeah, with a fire extinguisher close at hand.
Right.
But a safer way, butterflying a turkey speeds things up, right?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people don't even think about that. You know, we butterfly chickens and Cornish hens and put them on the grill, but you never think about butterflying a turkey. And what you do is you remove the backbone, and then you roast it with the flattened bird and skin side up in a 425 oven. And I did this a couple years ago when I was doing a story on the turkey alternatives for my Wine Spectator column. And I did an 11-pound turkey in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's nice about it, you can still get the drippings, which you can use for gravy. The only thing you can't get, obviously, is the stuffing.
But you are still leaving most of the turkey when you do that on the bones.
Right.
Which I think is really important.
Right.
Well, and the other thing that I find it's easier, that it's possible to do when you butterfly a turkey, I will often make a turkey breast, not on Thanksgiving, but I like turkey. And I like to sear the skin on a hot pan first and then turn it over and roast it. And you can do that when you butterfly the turkey.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Talk to us about the Spanic Vertical Roaster, which you point out here. This is a cool deal.
Yeah. Denny Spanic is a guy that I met when I was in San Jose, California. He lives nearby. And his mother created this metal holder that's in the shape of the Eiffel Tower because she created it when she was living in France, which is interesting. And this metal contraption sticks inside the bird and holds the bird so it's standing straight up as opposed to lying down.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, the turkey cooks in about half the time.
Well, and it also, it conducts heat into the center of the turkey.
Right, that's why it cooks in half the time, because the heat is not just coming from the outside, but also being conducted on the inside, because the metal will conduct the heat. And you can do this, by the way, not just in the oven. You can also do it in a Weber grill. I've done it in a Weber grill, and it works out very nicely. Of course, that depends on what kind of weather we're having around Thanksgiving, but it looks like it's not going to be too cold. And the nice thing about this, too, is it carves so easily. You know, people who have problems with carving, it just comes off so easily that you just can't imagine it.
And why does it carve more easily this way?
Well, it just you just pull it off.
Right, the bones from the inside have gotten warm,
yeah,
so
you just pull it right off. There's no resistance, and yet it doesn't fall apart. So it comes off easily, but it's not like falling off all over the place.
And what does it do to the flavor? Because I've never had a turkey done with one of these.
Oh, well, I think the flavor is excellent. You know, I don't know that the flavor is significantly better. I think the two things that I like about it are, one, that it's faster, and two, that it's easier to handle.
How do people get their hands on a Spanic vertical roaster?
I think any good supermarket, any good cookware store will have it. There are actually a lot of knockoffs of it. And I think Denny was just sending me an email saying that he's now got it registered so he can go after people and sue them for copying his trademark, but you'll see them in a lot of places, and as a matter of fact, these days they have them Teflon coated, which makes the cleaning a lot easier.
So, do you sit this vertical turkey in a roasting pan?
You put it in a roasting pan because it's still going to drip fat. So you want to put it in a roasting pan. You can put a little water in the bottom of the roasting pan so it doesn't splatter.
Wow.
And then if you're doing it on the grill, what you do is you put that, let's say you put it in around like a pizza pan, and then you put the coals all around it.
Mm.
And then you, of course, because you're going to be cooking it for longer than you might cook a steak, you obviously have to replenish the coals, but that's not a big deal.
So now, when is our turkey done? I've heard, now, the Department of Agriculture says 180 degrees.
Well,
is what I say to that. And Frank Bruni in the New York Times said, bring it out at 150 and let it carry. Not Frank Bruni. Somebody in the New York Times wrote, right. I forget who it was, just recently.
Yes.
But they said, pull it out at 150 and let it carry over to Marion Burroughs.
Right. Well, let's make a few points here. Number one, the bird is going to increase in temperature after you take it out.
It continues to cook because it's so big.
Right. So it'll cook, it'll add anywhere from 5 to 10 degrees after you take it out. And you should not carve it for at least 20 minutes, preferably 30 if it's a big bird.
And your fingers will thank you for that.
No.
The bird will be juicier.
If you try to roast Big Bird for Thanksgiving, the kids are going to be very upset. Sorry, it's a terrible, sorry, terrible joke.
Awful.
All right, sorry, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So, you take it out of the oven, put it on a heat-proof platter, cover it loosely with foil. That gives you plenty of time to do all the other stuff you need to do, like reheat some of the side dishes and make the gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as to the temperature, it varies anywhere from 150, as this one chef said, to 180, and that's the temperature that you measure with an instant read thermometer, which is much better than a meat thermometer that you stick in there and leave it.
Mm-hmm.
An instant read thermometer, which is now available everywhere, is one that you put into the turkey, and it will give you a reading, not instantly, but in about 20 to 30 seconds. You put it in the thickest part of the thigh, not touching the bone. Now, what temperature? Rick Rogers, who has written a very good turkey book that I've used many times, says, he absolutely says 180, because it's not cooked then. I think it's a little overcooked. And the problem is not the thigh. The problem is the breast.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because the breast, by that point, is going to be overcooked. I'd like to take it out somewhere between 165 and 170.
Well, one of the advantages of these other turkeys that we were talking about, too, some of the heritage breed turkeys, is they cook much more evenly.
Yeah, because there's more dark breed spread throughout. Well, and the other thing is, what I'm going to recommend, and we'll take a break and see how you feel on this, Sam, is you can always pull it out and then cut those thighs off and throw the thighs back in and let them keep going. But don't overcook your breast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's my words of wisdom from the restaurant guy. We'll be back in just a moment talking with Sam Gugino from samcooks.com. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Floors, walls, and lighting. The Restaurant Guys learned long ago that the key to making a space look great are floors, walls, and lighting. There's no tougher test to a carpet than a busy restaurant. From design to installation to cleaning, the Gillespie Group has handled the Restaurant Guys restaurant floors for more than 10 years. Designers know what looks great on the first day. Bob Gillespie knows what will continue to look great year after year. Gillespie doesn't just install carpets. Their quality clean division has experience and expertise to keep that carpet looking great. In our business, it's the details that matter. In your home or office, the details make a lasting impression. The Gillespie Group handles projects from large hotels to offices right down to your living room. Look down. Go on, look down. Right there by your feet. You see. You need the Gillespie Group. Call them at 732-254-5508 or visit them at thegillespiegroup.com. Tell them the Restaurant Guys sent you and get a free cleaning with any installation. Remember, it's Gillespie for carpet and flooring, 732-254-5508.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis, Dave Left, and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. We're talking with Sam Gugino, who's a contributing editor to the Wine Spectator magazine and also the owner and author of samcooks.com, which you should go and check out. You can link there from our website, restaurantguysradio.com. And we're talking about turkey for the holidays. I got to weigh in along with the recent fad of the deep-fried turkey. Can you tell us, Sam, about your view on turducken?
That seems like an awful lot of work to me.
Well, turducken is, and I have had one, and it wasn't very good, but I think it may have been inexpertly prepared, but it's a turkey, it's a duck cooked inside a chicken cooked inside a turkey.
Which Paul Prudhomme made famous some years ago.
And then John Madden has made really famous.
Right.
Your view is too much work?
Yeah, I think it's too much work. I happen to like turkey, and I think it's traditional for Thanksgiving, and so I'm one of those guys who, you know, wouldn't do a capon or a duck. So I might try it for New Year's or something.
Well,
but not Thanksgiving.
Some of the recipes that we've seen out here now are about ballantines, where you've reported, you know, you take the turkey meat and you put a bunch of things in there, sometimes including foie gras and goose meat and duck fat. And that just brings us – you've been writing recently about foie gras and the efforts around the country to ban it. What do you weigh in on the foie gras? You're not one of those animal rights guys, are you?
No, I'm not. Well, you know, there's a lot of hype about it all over the place, and a number of different governments are banning it. All the way from the city of Chicago, which I find hilarious. You know, the city, the hog butcher of the world, is banning foie gras.
Right.
And to California, which has banned foie gras as of 2012. Nobody makes foie gras which is goose liver or duck liver, for those of you who don't know what it is. And foie gras is the French word, which means fat liver. And it becomes a fat liver because the ducks or the geese, it's mostly ducks these days, are fattened by a process called gavage, which in French means stuffing, so that their livers are enlarged to up to 3 pounds, usually on average about a pound and a half, as opposed to 4 ounces for a normal duck liver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the animal rights people say that is cruel and unusual punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to have visited Hudson Valley foie gras last week and watched the operation, and I really saw nothing that was terribly cruel and unusual about anything they did, including the gavage.
I think a lot of people, animal rights people, have never seen my liver.
Yeah. That comes from Doritos. But the animal rights people will say gavage is force feeding, and yes. Gavage can also be translated as hand feeding.
Well, it is, and it isn't hand feeding. What they do is, and it sounds worse than it really is, they put feed down the duck's gullet by means of a funnel, and that sounds weird, but you have to remember that a duck is not a human being. You and I would not like that to be done, but a duck is used to eating whole fish.
Right, with scales.
With scales.
With scales in the wild.
Yeah.
So that is not an unusual thing. Ironically, what I saw at Hudson Valley was not much different than what I saw in the Dordogne region in France 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same.
Yeah, and again, you know, if you've been raised on a farm, if you understand raising, and you don't have a moral objection with raising animals for food, then this is not any particularly cruel way to do it. All right, so off the subject of foie gras, I'm back to Thanksgiving for a moment. By the way, foie gras is excellent on your Thanksgiving table if you want to make it. I have a recipe on the website somewhere for foie gras and apples and prosciutto. It's delicious. You have a couple of tips for people. You have 15. If you go, you can go to samcooks.com and find the 15 tips for a faster, easier Thanksgiving. I have a 16th, which is buy a restaurant and then ask the chef to prepare your dinner for you.
And then restaurant in particular?
Yeah, well, mine's already taken, so you'll have to start your own. But they're sending it to Mark in my house. But you say it's okay to use convenience items to buy some stuff and make some stuff ahead. What are the biggest tips? We've only got a few minutes, but what are the biggest mistakes people make that make them go crazy and keep them from enjoying their own Thanksgivings? And what are the best ways for them to have a convenient and tasty Thanksgiving?
Well, number one is, and this is true of any big meal you're making, any party, anything like that, is organization.
Mm-hmm.
You write down the menu. You make up the shopping list from the menu, but you don't stop there. You decide what dishes you're going to use. You know, where's the turkey going to go? What platter?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of you're not Martha Stewart, so you don't have two sets of dishes, but or three sets of dishes. But just figure out all the glassware, all the dishes you need. Now, also get people to help you out. You know, have Uncle Joe open the wine. Have somebody else set the table. Have people in the family help you out.
Yeah.
And bring, you know, it's not, there are so many good things out there these days. There's nothing wrong with bringing a pie that's been made by somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You cannot tell the difference between canned pumpkin and fresh pumpkin when it's in a pumpkin pie.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I'm not about the fresh ingredient. You don't see the difference.
I gotta say, my sister and I made a pumpkin pie one year. We went from the actual pumpkin. It was hours and hours of work. It tasted exactly like a canned pumpkin pie. So disappointed. Hey Sam, we have to leave it there. I want to thank you for joining us.
Good to talk to you guys.
Likewise, when we come back, we're going to talk to you about some of our tips for how to, other than own your own restaurant, for how to make your Thanksgiving a little more special. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Cafe Lombardi Restaurant. Our guest was Sam Gugino of samgugino.com. When you go to samgugino.com, you can sign up for his newsletter, which we're both signed up to, and I think is full of valuable tips. I will tell you, one of the things that he talked about was planning ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It is always advisable to write down everything that needs to get done. And the reason that's advisable is when you're in the thick of things, you can't always – somebody says – how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know because you've
right.
got to think it through. If you've got a list, a numbered list, you can say, let me see the list. Okay, you do number 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, oh, I need that done. Because stopping what you're doing to think about how to ask other people to help you every minute takes time.
For me, the biggest thing, and actually Sam says this in his newsletter, one of the big things is get that table set the night before.
Well, and
having that finished and completed is such a mind relaxer, knowing that that part of the day is done.
We need to cook two turkeys at my house, at my sister's house. And one of the things for us is, look, the restaurant really does set me up. It's like a cooking show. You know, when it comes in a van, everything's ready to go. But I put it together at the last minute, and I cook the turkey, and I make the gravy a la minute because it's tastiest that way. I don't want it cooked hours in advance. I want to have a night. And it's nice that we sit around the kitchen. I like being in the kitchen. It's sort of a place to, you know, it's a place for me to hide. People come to me and want to talk to me. And One of the things that's very important that I think about all the time is we have two turkeys, right? Well, how are you going to cook two turkeys? And some people often get themselves in a bind because, you know, you've got the corn, you've got the stuffing, you've got all the different things. If you only have one turkey, how are you going to heat it all up? You have to think about what you're going to heat up when and how mm-hmm. long it's going to take. Oven space is at a premium. What we do at my sister's house is she has a neighbor who usually goes away on Thanksgiving. We borrow right. their oven. You know, but think about what's going to go in the microwave, what's going to go on top, what should be kept warm on the side, and how you're going to get it all hot at once. And think about that in advance.
Just one last little tip. You can go to Linens and Things or Bed Bath & Beyond. They sell relatively decent sets of dishes, 12 dishes that you can buy for $25-$30 for a set of 12 dishes. Just to have the luxury of not having to wash something
makes them so
in
easy.
Between... It is really nice. And even if you do decide to wash it, you can use those dishes in between. Makes things a million times
easier. Take a cue from Julia Child and Frances Shutt. While you're cooking your Thanksgiving dinner, a little glass of sherry for the cook never really hurt anybody. It's very good for the holiday spirit for us all. Hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Frances Shutt.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys. Happy Thanksgiving, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.